Fired upon is the same thing as being hit. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by William Oram with help from Mike Berger in physics. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. For podcasts, click on the podcast button. For a moment of science, I'm Don Glass.
WI Law programming is made possible in part by the U of I College of Law. Established in 1897, the U of I College of Law is committed to the highest standards of academic excellence. More information and a schedule of upcoming public lectures are available at www.law.uiuc.edu.
It's 2:41 Central Time, 53 degrees in Urbana. In sports this afternoon, Manny Ramirez belted a two-run double in the top of the 10th inning, and the Boston Red Sox hung on for a 6-5 victory over the Oakland Athletics today in Japan. It's the earliest season opener ever and the third in the last 9 years to be played in the Tokyo Dome. The Pittsburgh Pirates have purchased the contract of infielder Luis Rivas from AAA Indianapolis and will start him at second base on opening day if Freddie Sanchez's sore shoulder isn't better. Rivas was the Minnesota Twins' starting second baseman for most of the 2001 through 2004 seasons, but has played only 4 games in the majors since the 2005 campaign, all with Cleveland last season. The University of Illinois women picked up win number 20 on the season with a 48-44 victory over Drake last night in second-round WNIT action at Assembly Hall. Illinois, now 20-14, hits the road to face Marquette in the third round of the WNIT tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Also in women's college basketball, fifth-seeded Notre Dame will play Oklahoma tonight at the NCAA tournament in West Lafayette. Oklahoma has the higher seed and boasts defending National Player of the Year, Courtney Paris. And Purdue will face Tennessee tonight in its second-round game. If the Lady Vols beat the Boilermakers, it will be the 100th NCAA tourney victory for Tennessee coach Pat Summitt. It is a feat that no other coach in Division I history, men's or women's basketball, has accomplished. The season is over for the Illinois State men after a 55-48 loss to Dayton in the second round of the NIT last night, while Bradley is heading to the semifinals of the inaugural College Basketball Invitational Tournament, where the Braves will take on Virginia tomorrow. Bradley scored a 79-73 win over Ohio last night to advance. The Atlanta Hawks have lost 6 straight games at the United Center heading into tonight's matchup with the Chicago Bulls. And the St. Louis Blues and the Detroit Red Wings face off at Scott Trade Center tonight in the opener of a home and home set. That's sports.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, designers of the M2 on Neal mixed-use project in downtown Champaign, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
A new company in California is trying to make money from the mortgage crisis. It's made up of former executives from Countrywide. That was the nation's biggest mortgage lender until the market crashed. These executives want to buy troubled mortgages on the cheap. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
In the dark depths of the sea, bottom feeders glide through the water, gobbling up scraps that other fish won't bother with or don't have the stomach for. The same principle is at work in the mortgage business these days. One new bottom feeder is called PennyMac, and it's looking to snap up gnarly-looking loans for pennies on the dollar.
There are loans, for example, the worst of what we've seen, second mortgages that are trading, you know, 5 cents on the dollar.
Stan Kurland is the former president of Countrywide and now the CEO of PennyMac. He says even some loans where the borrowers have decent credit can be bought at a big discount right now. In some cases, the homeowner's subprime loan payments are about to jump way up, or some homeowners just put zero money down and now find their houses aren't worth what they owe.
People who are fully able to pay, but when they've lost all of their equity or they're underwater in the property, there are many people that just want to walk away. And those are people that we want to deal with.
Kurland says basically he'll be looking to cut people deals so they'll want to stay in their home and can afford the payments. But some consumer advocates are skeptical. Bruce Marks is the head of the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, or NACA. He doesn't like that PennyMac founders came out of Countrywide, an aggressive subprime lender.
These are the same people that created the problem and profited from the problem. And the fact of the matter is, we can't trust them. We are very suspicious, and we are very concerned that they're out there just to prey on hardworking people and make money.
Marks thinks these bottom feeders, or they're also called bottom fishers, just want to string along homeowners until the market comes back and their property values increase.
Sit on these mortgages, and then they'll foreclose and throw the homeowners out of their homes.
Kurland denies that. He says in many cases for people at risk of foreclosure, it's more profitable to just modify loans and make them affordable.
Absolutely. Our primary mission is to avoid foreclosure.
But for better or worse, the bottom fishers are only going to buy so many loans. PennyMac will probably buy up around 15 to 20,000 mortgages. That's a tiny percentage of the more than 1 million foreclosures expected over the next year. Mark Zandi is chief economist of Moody's Economy.com.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, this is still very, very small. It's a drop in the proverbial bucket.
Zandi has been calling for the government to do more to stop foreclosures, but he and others say the emergence of distressed loan buyers like PennyMac probably bodes well. Chip Case is a housing economist with Wellesley College. He says we're starting to see some signs that the housing slump might be leveling off. Home sales ticked up a bit last month.
The other sign of pending recovery and return to normalcy is bottom fishermen. Those are people buying up the stuff that is underpriced because of the panic. And that begins to move it back to kind of normal pricing.
Case and others say we're clearly not out of the woods in the housing crisis. All those looming foreclosures are likely to glut the market for a long time. That's why they say the more foreclosures we can avoid, the quicker the recovery for the housing market and the economy. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
Perhaps it's because many in France have stopped liking their own president. Nicolas Sarkozy's ratings are in the basement. Maybe it's because France nearly elected its first woman president. Whatever the reason, freedom fries are forgiven. The French cannot get enough of the U.S. presidential race. Eleanor Beardsley reports from Paris.
For the last 6 months, 23-year-old journalism student Pierrick Laurent has been keeping a daily blog on the American presidential election.
Most people in France would be very happy to see either a woman or a black president.
Laurent says traffic to his website has shot up phenomenally since the primary season began in January because people are fascinated by the candidates, especially the two Democrats.
Maybe it's just a stereotype, but I think French people still think that's part of the American dream. Like, this kind of thing can happen in America, and it's great.
French television has covered every primary. The popular daily newspaper Le Parisien even conducted a national opinion poll. When it was published back on Super Tuesday, it showed Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton nearly neck and neck. Robert Arajol, owner of a Paris video store, is a Hillary Clinton supporter. He says Clinton is much more impressive than last year's French female presidential contender, Ségolène Royal.
Hillary Clinton represents the best in America. She's dynamic, radiant, she knows what she's talking about, and she makes you believe in things. If we'd have had her against Nicolas Sarkozy, she would have beaten him.
But now it looks increasingly like Arajol is in the minority. France seems to be falling in love with Barack Obama. There is a fascination in France for a black man who has made it this far in American society. His story has some people from the suburban housing projects in France, where French racial integration has largely failed, asking, "Where is our Barack Obama?" At a cafe table looking out on a drizzly Paris morning, Samuel Sauvit plans the activities of his support committee for Barack Obama. Sauvit says if Obama is elected, it will improve America's image throughout the world.
It will change the way of seeing the United States. You are not just an hostile country, but you are a multicultural country, very open-minded, modern, and really more than that other country.
Newspaper editorials say much of the enthusiasm for the Democrats is a response to 8 years of an unpopular Bush administration. There's a desire here for a new relationship with America, and for many French people that means a new party in the White House. The French don't understand the GOP, says Pierre Toulek as he sips his beer at an outdoor cafe on the Champs-Élysées. His group, the Association of Friends of Republicans, is trying to change that. Toulek supports the Iraq war and says only a President John McCain can protect the West from the Islamist threat.
I like John McCain because he will be tough on the war on terror. I think it's important to show all around the world that there is people really wanting John McCain to be the next American president, because he's not only the American president, he's the leader of the free world.
While there was some TV coverage of McCain's visit last week with President Sarkozy, it was Obama's speech on racism that dominated the nation's attention, leaving some pundits to observe that France was now in the grip of Obama mania. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
Experts predict that in the next 20 to 30 years, a growing United States will need 30 to 60% more water. Growth will be even more explosive in other parts of the world, and the need for clean, usable water may someday be a staggering political issue. AM 580's Tom Rogers spoke with a University of Illinois expert watching that potential crisis unfold.
In a new review in the science journal Nature, Professor Mark Shannon outlines the need for cheap ways to purify massive amounts of water and how technology is trying to catch up to that need. He says contamination is another issue that technology is going to have to address, and not just from the industrial pollutants that we think of at first.
Saltwater is definitely a major issue, particularly if you're along the coastlines where you're pumping water out of aquifers. It begins to intrude into the aquifer and make it salty. In fact, where I grew up, I grew up on well water, and where my parents purchased their place back in the 1950s. And they've had to drop their well deeper and deeper, and they now have a reverse osmosis unit underneath their sink because their water is so salty. And that's in the Bay Area.
So, okay, that's out in California, but here in Illinois, we always think we've got an ample water supply. We're in the Great Lakes region. We've got these huge, deep aquifers. Why should people in Illinois be concerned about these trends?
Well, interestingly, most people think, oh, the problems are in the West, the problems are in the Southwest. Well, in Illinois, we have some of the most critical problems facing the entire nation, and it's particularly around the Great Lakes in the collar counties of Chicago, where the aquifers are being pumped, and these are what we call alluvial or glacial aquifers, and they are fossil water. They were left when the glaciers receded, and these are not terribly replenishable. They replenish very slowly, and they're pumping them out so deep that as you get deeper and deeper, you go into salt water, which is underneath all the fresh water. And so communities like around the Chicago area, as well as communities in San Antonio, communities in all along the Gulf Coast, et cetera, are finding that their water is getting saltier.
You don't think of that when you're thousands of miles away from a coast.
That's absolutely right. There's salt water that underlies the entire continent. And in fact, there's more salt water in underlying the United States than there is fresh water. And so the amount of salt water that is there is amazing. It's different salt water than seawater, but it's hard salts like you get when you run your sink a lot and you see these white compounds that come around it.
So what do we do? What is being done now, and how is it lacking as far as, you know, those trends of population and saltier water and pollution and all that?
Well, these trends are like all converging on each other. And what this means is that there will be less and less water available for us. And to clean it up, we have to start treating it. We have to spend a lot more money.
He says newer purification methods aim to reduce energy and chemical use while treating large amounts of water. But Shannon says the real trick is to perfect what he calls point source purification methods, treatment that can take place in the home, even under the sink, and can be done cheaply.
Coming up with methods that don't use excess energy or extra energy added from outside, maybe the sun or some normal types of energy, or the energy that's in water itself, the energy that's in what we call gray or black water. There's a fair amount of energy there, using that energy and not using additional chemicals. So there's that could help a huge number of the population. And so there's all sorts of methods that we're developing to do that, from biological methods that use biology to new nanotype technologies that could really change the face of water.
As at the risk of making it a highly scientific discussion, just explain in layman's terms what nanotechnology can do in this particular case, what it is and how you relate it to water purification.
Well, as once it was said to me once, is water is dirt cheap. That's why we use dirt to clean it. And, you know, if we think about it, sand and earth and, right. and clays are used to clean it. Well, clays have lots of, you think of it as just clay, but they have lots of little tiny particles on top of the clay that can absorb species or toxins or can disinfect from pathogens. They can trap things and disinfect it. So really it's these tiny little billionth of a meter, you know, 1,000 times smaller than to a million times smaller than a hair. But these are just like little particles that you can place on it. And if we can do it in an intelligent way or find materials that have these properties, such as in mines that are being mined for diamonds in Africa, there's millions, hundreds of millions of different types of these chemicals that are in, that are naturally. And if we can find them and use them, then that can change everything.
Mark Shannon heads the University of Illinois' Center for Advanced Materials for the Purification of Water with Systems. It's a name that's as big as its mission, and he hopes more people will recognize the urgency of the situation. You can hear the entire interview at will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Earth and Sky.
I think people are passionately interested in our own story, from the beginning of time through the formation of all the places that we could possibly live, how life originated here on Earth, we don't know.
You are listening to Nobel Prize-winning astrophysicist John Mather. I caught up to Mather at a science meeting in Boston in early 2008, where he was speaking about physics on a grand scale.
Scientists are currently able to think about finding out how we got here on this planet Earth. Every step from the Big Bang through the formation of the first stars and galaxies to the formation of the solar system and the possibility for the Earth to be the right temperature and provided with water, all of those things are possibilities for scientists to explore and currently being worked on by worldwide international collaborations of people building telescopes, observing the sky through them.
Mather is senior project scientist for one of the next generation telescopes after Hubble, the James Webb Telescope. He says the James Webb is about half built with 5 years to go for it to launch. It should help answer many questions about this universe in which we find ourselves.
People do want to know, and so I think this is part of our culture that we just want to know our origins and want to know where we're going, and it would be really cool if we knew we weren't alone.
Our thanks to John Mather. I'm Jorge Salazar, and we're Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
WILL programming is made possible by the Center for Advanced Study, whose MillerCom 2008 series presents Shakespeare as a Sky Watcher, Joining Astronomy with English Literature, by David H. Levy, on Tuesday, March 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the Beckman Institute. More information is available online at www.cas.uiuc.edu.
This is the Information Advantage, AM 580, WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We're coming to you from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, made possible by a generous gift from Alice and Robert Campbell. Mike Sola's forecast for Illinois and Indiana tonight: in northern Illinois, partly cloudy, elsewhere mostly cloudy with a few showers in the far south and in eastern Indiana. Lows ranging from 28 in northern Illinois to 46 in the south. Tomorrow, north, partly sunny, elsewhere mostly cloudy with widely scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms possible in the south. Highs ranging from 45 in far northern Indiana to 63 in southern Illinois. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, considerable cloudiness, the low 35, the wind from the west to northwest at 9 to 18 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high 54, the wind from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance for showers, the low 35. The outlook for Thursday, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, likely the high around 50. It's coming up on 3 o'clock. Central Time. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Henry Frayne. 54 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Stay with us now for The World. That's coming up next from PRI.